Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I am in my kitchen making a cup of coffee, and one of my dear friends is in town helping me with the kids. Ryan went back to work yesterday, and mama needs some help and some support. So my friend Josephina, who was on the podcast last year, flew in from Florida to help me with the babies, and I am so grateful. We are going to be chatting about fertility stuff, infant loss, miscarriage awareness month, and just having some girl talk over coffee while Isla eats her snack and baby Max is taking her nap. And I think I'm going to start doing these more often when my girlfriends come over, and just calling them girl talk. So, hi, Fina.
Hi.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So, the last time we were on the show together, you talked about your struggles with fertility, and that's kind of how you and I connected.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to conceive around the same time, and we had both had miscarriages, I believe, not far apart from each other.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, just connect with you and update the folks who listened to that episode. We had a lot of women reach out saying that they could relate, and mm-hmm. you know, how you found your art through loss and everything like that. So what's been new? What's been up?
Ooh. Well, we are still on our fertility journey. In a sense, it's kind of new because now I know that there are a couple things that add on to our infertility, like PCOS, and just trying to figure out how to live a new life with that.
Right.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of health challenges that come with that, like irregular periods, infertility, a ton of fatigue, even mental illness, which is something I struggled with for like a while, mm-hmm. but I never knew where, like, I knew that it stemmed from like family and trauma back then, but I didn't know that even when it comes to anxiety and depression, that can also correlate to PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so crazy how I think it was like a year ago, maybe, that we were recording. I think I had an idea of what was going on.
Right.
But now I'm like in a place where I know what's going on, and we're still trying.
So knowing your diagnosis, right, how did that bring clarity to your situation? I know it might have been a little disappointing, but I also, mm-hmm. like in our personal conversations, you just wanted to know what was going on. So how was that for you, naming, you know, what the issue is?
I think it was kind of like grief and joy. It was very bittersweet because mm-hmm. I remember I started taking supplements and you were like, Fina, wait until you get diagnosed.
Talk to a doctor first.
And I was like, but I know that this is what it is.
Yeah.
So finally, when like the doctor said, you have PCOS, it was like, I knew it. I was right. Mm-hmm. And then once it hit, it was like, dang. So like, what's next?
Right.
You know, like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it, even though I knew what it was, it's still very rare. And you don't really know, like, what steps to take when it comes to taking care of PCOS within itself.
Yeah.
So like the doctors typically diagnose you,
mm-hmm.
but they don't tell you, okay, what's next? They kind of just say, okay,
you're
either on birth control, or right. if you're trying, then let me give you some Clomid, mm-hmm. so you can try. But there's no like other way around that. There's no, okay, let's figure out like what's off and right. what you need.
Right.
So yeah.
That sounds a little frustrating, just hearing you talk about it, because with especially being Black women mm. of color, our fertility is, you know, important. We aren't really listened to either. Yeah. And we've talked about that. And with my case, I don't have the fertility issues. I'm putting issues in quotes because it's not even an issue, the fertility challenges, yeah. right? My husband did. So to go through what we went through to conceive Isla, she was an IVF baby, and then to be completely surprised mm-hmm. and get pregnant naturally with Max, you know, there was so much joy with, you know, me and my husband being able to, like, have sex and make a baby, even yeah. if we weren't we weren't trying for Max, but it just gave yeah. us this sense of comfort. But also it made us kind of feel like, well, damn, we went through so much yeah. to get Isla, and like the fertility specialists that we had were amazing and mm-hmm. are amazing. But I just wonder, like, what else could have been done before yeah. going through what we went through to get Isla. I don't know. So yeah. I feel you. It's kind of like,
and we talked about this too. Yeah. Like I kind of knew that something was wrong with me at a very young age. I mean, I was 12 years old when I got my first period, and then I didn't get it until I was 14. Oh, wow. And when I went to the doctors, they were like, oh, you just have a very irregular period. Here's birth control.
2 years?
And I'm 14 years yeah. old, and I don't really know, like, yeah. what's going on. I just started taking birth control, mm-hmm. and it had me feeling weird.
From the beginning.
So I stopped taking it. And then I started taking it again when Jay and I got married, because we wanted to wait at least a year to start trying for a baby.
Right.
But I always had in the back of my mind the thought of, I don't have regular periods, so I don't know what this looks like when it comes to the fertility journey. Mm-hmm. So it was even a surprise to us when we got pregnant so fast, because it was like, whoa, I didn't think I could ever really get pregnant. Because I can't hardly keep a period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. fast forward 2 years, now it's like, okay, when is my period going to come? And how do you deal with the stresses of being, like, walking through infertility and knowing that you're getting the support? Because mm-hmm. I shared with you, like, even within our fertility journey this year, it was rough. I mean, like, it's in Tampa, there's, like, not many fertility facilities, and I felt very alone, and I just felt like it was just, you know, just another person that's gonna give me money. Mm-hmm. So there's not just like that vulnerability that you're walking through where you're trying to figure out what's wrong with your body, and even knowing that you're the one who has something that's wrong with you, but also in the back of your mind, you're wondering, like, are we ever gonna be able to overcome this? Like, am I ever going to be able to have a steady period? Mm-hmm. Are we ever gonna be able to see our rainbow baby? And while that hope is there, like, the reality is a lot of times it gets hard, especially when you're not getting that support from your own doctor.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note too that you and your husband got tested and everything, your hormones and everything came back mm-hmm. fine, yeah. your levels. So yeah. let's talk about that. And maybe that was a little bit confusing for you, but also reassuring.
Yeah.
And then I think that goes back to kind of what we were talking about a few minutes ago, how it's like being black, young black people, young black women mm-hmm. with young black husbands. Why isn't more being done to figure out yeah. A, B, and C? Or maybe there is no A, B, and C, but then not feeling like you have the support yeah. to kind of coincide with whatever news you get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, when we got the test results, first of all, I was really scared. And I just kept saying to myself, like, I just hope, quote unquote, something is just wrong with me and not with Jay, because if it's both of us, we're screwed. And I just kept praying, like, I just hope something's wrong with me. So when the doctor read the results and she said, everything's normal on both ends, like, not just you, like, not just my husband, but me, right. I was like, okay, so I'm doing something right, but I don't know what I'm doing right.
And no one can tell me.
It was only me, because I was just like, okay, with PCOS, how am I going to treat this in a holistic way? I'm going to try to exercise. I'm going to try to take my supplements. And even within that, I don't know which supplements are the ones that I need, right. because according to them, all my hormones are balanced. So I don't know. Like,
right.
I didn't know. Now fast forward to now, a couple months later, it's been 60 days plus since I've gotten my period. And I'm like, okay, so like I was doing the same thing I was doing when I was getting fertility treatment. I don't know if it was in a sense that I felt like comfort because someone else is there. It's kind of like when you go to, like when you're really sick and you go to the doctor's office and you're already like, okay, I'm finally getting help.
Right.
So I don't know if that kind of eased the stress going to an infertility facility to like get help or I don't know. Like, I don't know what changed. And it's kind of hard because not knowing and then being healthy, getting good results, and then going back to, okay, well, something's wrong.
Something is wrong, right.
But you don't see it. So I don't know if you're actually checking everything or you're just doing the minimum.
Right.
So I don't know. It's different. But even going to the fertility clinic, like we were the only couple that is of color there. So like, you know, there's always that thought of, are you actually like paying attention to like my symptoms? Like I know that I have PCOS. So for you to tell me that I don't have it, like I'm just like, something's off because I know that I do. So are you actually like taking tests and caring about it or not?
Right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I can completely relate to like that feeling of being the only, especially when we were trying to conceive Isla and we had 8 IUIs, which is the, you know what that is, but for folks who don't know what that is, it's intrauterine insemination. None of them worked for us. So that's why we had to go through with IVF and it really wasn't as terrible as I thought, but it was like, it was just scary.
Yeah.
And even though we had a great team, we were still the only people of color in the waiting room ever. And then I had some guilt with that too, because it's like, there's so many black and brown people who can't afford to be in the position that we're in. And I need to honor like the fact that I'm blessed enough to be in this position. And not complain. So there was this like weird push and pull with my emotions. And I don't know. It's a weird place to be, especially like on the other side of miscarriage. It's just odd. It's just odd because it feels, we were talking about this last night. It feels so far away, but then it's again, it feels so still so close. So I don't know. I'm there with you.
It's like there's these like little snippets of hope like in between that. But yeah, it does feel that way. It's like you're struggling with feeling lonely, but also that guilt of, in a sense, feeling like you're privileged because you have the opportunity to like go a little further when it comes to the journey and trying to conceive.
Right. So yesterday was a pretty, I don't know if I want to call it pretty emotional because you didn't seem emotional, but it was a special day for you yesterday. Your baby would have been 2. So how have you processed, how have you been processing over the past 2 years celebrating the baby you would have had and also honoring your grief and your loss and trying to find ways to kind of move through that?
I think like over the years it's kind of I've grown more in tune with myself. And typically, like last year, we didn't celebrate the 1 year at all.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just like said maybe a couple words to my husband about it, and we didn't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we always kind of like honor the miscarriage day.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized even yesterday that like celebrating the 2 years makes it even more real for me.
Right.
And in a sense, it kind of helped me grieve in a different way. So yesterday, it was like honoring the couple things that made me know that this was real. So like the morning sickness and the cravings, mm-hmm. and even saying that to my husband and telling him like, you know, our baby would have been 2 today. For him, I don't think he's as emotional mm-hmm. as I am,
mm-hmm.
But just sharing that with him helped kind of bring us together and recognize that as a team, and not just feeling like it's just me recognizing that, which I think that also plays a part on not, I think it's emotional period, but it helps not making it depressing.
Yeah.
It kind of just encourages us within our journey. So even though yesterday it can be filled with if onlys and if this never happened, I think yesterday was more of, it was like bittersweet because I was like very hopeful mm-hmm. yesterday. I wasn't incredibly sad. I was just like, you know, I'm so grateful that even though the baby lived in my womb for 12 weeks, like he or she changed so much, like the trajectory of like the direction of my life and mm-hmm. where I was headed and what I was doing. I can just imagine like 2 years ago, I was working at a recovery clinic and that's just all I did. And
yeah.
I was like working myself to exhaustion, where I'm just in a very different place now where I'm more aware.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday was all about recognizing the beauty that came out of loss.
Yeah, I think that's really special. And the reason why it's special is because like you were able to, I think, bloom from that really hard thing. But I think I mentioned this when you and I talked last year. When I experienced the loss, I started writing affirmations.
Mm.
So that's where Today I Affirm came from.
Mm.
And I think it's really beautiful that your calligraphy was birthed out of that loss.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing because yeah. you're so good, and you've turned your loss into some type of beauty. I think it's really important for folks who have experienced loss, be it a child, a parent, to know that they can find beauty in that.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
Yeah.
There were so many days when I was like, F this.
Yep.
I just want to give up.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it also helped me realize too, how to name what I need
mm-hmm.
and how to speak up for my grief and
yeah.
speak up for myself.
Yes.
I don't know if you felt the same way, but there was so many instances where I had to speak up. I couldn't just let people guess how I was feeling.
Absolutely.
Or expect people to show up, and I wasn't saying
mm-hmm.
how I needed them to show
yep.
up.
Yeah. I think for me specifically, it's definitely refined my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there were so many things that, you know, we kind of just buried.
Yeah.
And never like worked through.
Yeah.
But it's taught me to be bold and ask for what I need
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Jay, especially as we navigate through the fertility journey, because
right.
it can be very lonely as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And with my husband, like he has work outside of home
right.
and I'm home all the time. So even though like I have my own business and he's working, I think that a lot of times, like when I'm home, I think a ton on
right.
infertility
right.
and it like makes a lot of room for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to figure out how to actually word what I need and not just harbor it
yeah.
and also learn to like share my vulnerability without feeling guilty about making people feel uncomfortable as I share about my loss.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times it's so easy for them to ask, hey, so why don't you have kids? But then when I say, yeah, you know, we have a baby in heaven, it's very awkward for them. Mm-hmm. But how awkward do you think it is when you ask me, when are we going to have children? When you don't know, like,
that our situation.
Been, yeah. When you don't know the entire journey
that
it's been for us. So it's definitely helped me kind of see things differently, especially when it comes to fertility. I think that a lot of people think, okay, once they get married, they're going to have a baby, and you think that comes so quick.
Right.
But it's like, that's not real life.
No. And for us, like, I thought I was being punished.
Same.
I thought I was being punished because I had my oldest daughter out of wedlock, and I wasn't in love, and I barely knew the person I was having a baby with. I thought I was being punished because I had an abortion after that. I thought I was being punished because I couldn't, quote unquote, have it all. Like, I had met my husband.
Mm.
We were in this healthy relationship.
Same.
We were so in love.
Yes.
And now we can't have a baby and I'm being punished. And I had to really shift my way of thinking and get out of victimhood and decide, like, no, I'm not being punished.
Yeah.
This is a thing. This is a scientific thing that is happening with us, and we're going to get the help that we need, and we're not just going to stay in this place of sorrow. And I had to tell, you know, my friends, my close friends, my family, like, here's how I need you to show up for me. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is how you can love me through this. And this is how I want you to love me through this and see this, you know, manifest into something beautiful. Because right now I just feel lost.
Yeah.
And
I feel the same way. Like, I felt like Jay and I were being punished because, you know, he's a college pastor. And when we got married, we waited. We waited to kiss until our wedding day. And I wasn't a virgin. And, you know, in, like, the Christian world, they honor, you know, you not having sex.
Right.
And Jay was a virgin. So I felt like I am not the person for him because I wasn't that way.
Right.
And there were so many times, even with our failed IUI, I told him, you know, I think by now, if you were married to somebody else, you probably would have had your baby. And there was just a lot of guilt and shame that I attached to infertility.
Right.
And even when I think about, like, when our baby comes, I can only imagine how much more close we will be with one another when our rainbow baby comes. It's the same thing. I had to learn so many boundaries, and I had to learn, okay, like, once I got over that guilt and shame of us being together and, like, struggling to conceive, it was okay. I don't need to feel guilty for unfollowing people.
Right.
I don't need to feel guilty for not going to baby showers.
Right.
I don't need to feel guilty if I distance myself from somebody for a little while. At the end of the day, like, if there's an intimate friendship there, or if there's an intimate relationship there, then they'll understand that I need this, like, I need to take this space and I need to form these boundaries in order to continue healing.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have learned that if I didn't learn that with Jay.
Right. Right. I also think, like, it's important to give ourselves the space that we need. It was so hard for me to see, like, pregnancy announcements.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I got pregnant with Isla, it was just, like, coded in loss still. I was like, I'm never gonna, like, she's not gonna make it here. Like, there was just always this doubt.
Mm.
And then it was hard for me to, like, celebrate my pregnancy. It was hard for me to celebrate because I was also feeling guilty that there were people in my life who hadn't conceived yet.
Mm.
And then when it comes to Max, she was such a huge surprise. Like, I even considered not telling anybody, especially my friends who were close to me struggling, because I was like, I don't know how that's gonna be. But also,
no, I'm glad you told me. I was so excited. And for me, like, I don't know, it's just different when your friends understand your journey. Like,
and I had to keep that in mind.
Understand
right.
your journey.
Right.
Like, for me, it was like, you know what? If she was able to do this and they said that you wouldn't be able to conceive naturally at all,
yep,
and they were able to do this, then I know that PCOS ain't crap.
Isn't gonna
like,
stop me.
It's
yeah.
not gonna stop us.
Yeah.
And there is hope. So for me, it was like a sign of hope. I think it's hard when our friends don't say anything.
Right. And I had to keep that in mind too. Because I'm like, we're gonna be celebrating this together. And to be here, you know, and to bear witness to you and your faith and your hope and your resilience is just, it just makes me really happy, because it's so easy to give up.
Yeah.
And I think both of us have been in a place where it just feels like the rainbow's never gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you and Jay haven't welcomed your rainbow baby yet, there's like this abundance around you guys and this faith that it's going to happen and it's going to be special and it's going, you know, like
yeah.
it's not this thing of, even when it feels hard, you know?
But I think that also comes with who we're surrounding ourselves with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if I didn't have the friendship that we have, I don't know if I would be in this place, you know, because I feel completely comfortable with telling you, okay, today sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is ever going to happen. So I have that friend where I can come to you even with doubt, and I know that you'll feed into my resilience and my hope when I don't feel that hope or when I don't feel like it'll ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendship has helped me fuel that up when I'm empty.
Mm.
So it's like, even your wins that you're like, I don't know if I want to share that, like, that helps our friendship.
Mm.
Because for me, I'm like looking at the side that you were on and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but this is something that you also thought for yourself.
Yeah.
So being on the other side, it's like, okay, like,
you're getting there. And I feel the same way. I mean, now we have two children under two.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, I mean, today I'm like, how the heck am I gonna do this? This is scary for me. Like, I feel so blessed, but I also feel really scared and nervous for this new chapter. Isla, as y'all can hear, is super busy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only getting busier, and it just is. We're on the other side of it, but now there's
yeah.
new challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's people like you who fly in from different states to help me with my kids when my husband goes back to work. It's people like you that I'm, like, just happy to be around, because I know I can feel supported. And I know that I can say, this is hard for me today, and this hurts me today, and this feels really big for me today, and not be judged and not
yeah.
be like, girl, you got these kids, like, be grateful that you even
yeah.
have these kids. And I, like, yes, I am totally grateful that I have these kids, but I also, yes,
yep.
this feels like this big, huge, daunting, scary thing. So as we just wrap up this girl talking conversation, I have three questions. The first question is, how are you leaning deeper into your creativity these days? You have a book out. That is something new. I have
yeah.
to, like, plug that. It's an amazing book. How are you nurturing, birthing a book, preparing for a rainbow baby, and all of that right now?
Ooh. So it still feels surreal that I wrote a book, especially knowing that it comes out of loss and our experience with grief.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a huge shocker, but it's also kind of unlocked this creative inside. So right now, when it comes to like nurturing my creativity, I've been writing a whole lot more. Not just calligraphy wise, but also just writing for myself and allowing some of my writings to be just for me. Because I feel like I've opened up and I've become a little more vulnerable on my social media and just on my platform, period. But I also want to make sure that I honor that my own creativity and take the time to like have it for myself.
Right.
So I take time to just write for myself or create something for myself. And I'm also in school. Well, I'm taking a break right now.
Yeah.
But I'm also in school and I'm specifically going to school for art therapy. And I think about infertility and I think about mental illness and like that's the target that I want to have right now. So mm-hmm. I'm going to school and I'm studying for that. I don't really know if that's self-care.
It is.
Because it's real stressful.
It's hard. I mean, it's self-care in a sense.
It's stressful, yeah. But I know that it'll pay out later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The next question is, what would you say to people during this month? October 25th is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. Mm. What would you say to other women walking through this?
I would say, if you've had your rainbow baby, it is okay if you still are grieving. I think that a lot of times we think, a lot of people assume, okay, well, you had your baby, so you should get over your loss. But a loss is still a loss, and grief has no timeline, regardless if your rainbow has come or if it hasn't. So take your time grieving, nurturing your soul, and just surrounding yourself with people who not only understand, but encourage you to continue to take your time grieving and continue to take your time healing. Because I feel like healing doesn't just stop. It continues to go. So remembering that we are still healing, whether our rainbow has come or not.
Lastly, what does self-care look like to you today?
Self-care is definitely traveling to see my friends and hang out with their babies. It really is. Like, I've been getting the best rest, which is so funny.
Yeah.
You would think, okay, how?
And Isla was up at 6 a.m. this morning. I was like, please don't wake Auntie Fina up, please. And she didn't. I was like, girl, you can sleep. Because
Isla
is loud. And Max was crying and Charlie was getting together for school. I was
so
just
y'all
like,
pray for my future baby, Lord. Because
Mama gonna be sleeping through all the noise. That's so funny.
So definitely spending time with friends, getting out, like going outside, even if it's like just for a walk or for a run. And it's so funny, but I've been liking like doing that and going on adventures by myself. I like surrounding myself with people, but I also love being able to kind of hear silence and kind of listen to what my body wants and my body needs or what my soul needs. So being able to like take a walk from my house to a coffee shop and just read or, you know, just sit still for a bit and like listen has been super, super, super nourishing for me, especially while navigating through our fertility journey. Like being able to write those things down that are on my mind and doing it on my own, not just with a whole lot of noise, that's been super helpful.
Thank you. So thank you guys for tuning in. I will leave all of Josephina's information in the description of this podcast. Check out her book, follow her on social media, connect with her. Both of us are really into building community and sisterhood through storytelling and just telling our truths and walking tall in that. So we'll chat with you later and see you on the internet and hopefully one day at our workshops together.
Yes. 'Cause
she also teaches with me too. So, all right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.